Good morning, church. It has been a great pleasure, especially when we have you partnering with us, especially with my family in praying for my father. And he has been in the ICU for about 2 days. And then yesterday, he was sent back to the surgical ward, okay? Because as we know, the COVID-19 cases has been spiking, and you know, they have to let go of some of the ICU wards for the COVID patients. And we thank you, especially for those who have called me personally to actually share about, you know, because my father was found to be with septicemia. That means there is some, you know, bacteria in the blood, all right? And actually, there are two bacteria in the blood. He is on medication, antibiotics, and also antifungal drugs, and we have prepared our mom for the worst, but we continue to hope for the best. All right, can we have the slides up? Thank you. All right, so that is regarding my father. Thank you once again for those who personally call us. And also do remember my wife, Celine, in your prayer as well. She will be expecting on the 4th of June, which is about 1 more month from now. And we are anxious, we are excited. We are terrified. Okay, this is, you know, being a first, you know, first child. We do have our concerns, and especially with the rise of COVID-19 cases, we do pray that, you know, things will get better. And we pray that, you know, God's, you know, work will continue in our lives here on earth. All right, today's morning, this morning, we have a message for you. And hopefully, this will not be the last, because we know that next week onwards, we'll be coming back, you know, for the online service. We're returning back to the online service. So there will not be any more physical service as of now. It is the same with KLBC, Bukit Bintang Main Church. Because of the rise of COVID-19 cases, we just want to be safe, be wise as well. And we hope that every one of us, you continue to follow SOPs, whether it's at your workplace, whether it's you as you go out to, you know, doing your stuff and stuff like that. All right, so we continue to pray for the condition to get better. And God's will, today's message is about being faithful in the gospel ministry. Before we come to the word, shall we come to the Lord in prayer? Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we want to thank you once again because of your grace, because of your mercy, because of your blessings that you have showered upon us so far. And Lord, we know that there is many more to come. And Lord, we faithfully await your blessing upon us as your presence around our troubles, around our challenges. Lord, we know that you will never forsake us. So Lord, we pray that this morning's message that encourages, that exalts us to actually be faithful in your ministry. And Lord, we know that your ministry is not limited in the boundaries of the church building, but rather is on the relationship that we have with you and that we have with the people around us. So Lord, teach us today, as Paul taught the Thessalonians, how to be faithful despite all the challenges that they are facing. We uphold our session unto your hands. We pray that your Holy Spirit be our teacher this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Since 18th of March last year, it has been on and off 1 year now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, we have been in, we have been out of this MCO. We've been coming back for physical service. We are, you know, we have returned to the online service. And now, once again, we have to close down our church because of the rise of this COVID-19 situation in Malaysia. Even though we know that it is currently challenging for us to come back for this physical service, but we do have to acknowledge that God is indeed amazing. During this unprecedented time of MCO, it actually offers us something else. Something that we call flexibility, and something that we have in the channel All right, the channel to continue the ministry like the Sunday school, the channel to continue the ministry such as Morning Watch, Connect Group, and online worship services through this platform. We are not, we are quite familiar with some of this platform here. We have Zoom, we have Skype, we have Google Classroom, we have WhatsApp, we have YouTube, to name the few. And since we are no longer limited physically on Sunday, especially next week onwards, we can even join the worship services from other churches even more conveniently than before. We can now also join up, you know, international conferences, conference from Malaysia, from US, as long as we fit into their time zone. So this is what we can thank God for. We thank God for the technology. We thank God for the flexibility that MCO has given us. And today, this morning, I want to talk to you as a fellow minister of the word. Not as mere believers of the word, but as ministers of the word. Because you and I, we have a duty. We have our social circle, we have our circle of influence. Be it we are a parent, be it we are a student, we are a teacher, we have our family members, we have our loved ones, we have our own circle of influence. So this morning, I'm going to talk to you as my fellow minister of the word. How do we, as ministers of the word, remain faithful to the gospel ministry, especially in this challenging time? Now, Paul gave us a very good example. As the main missionary during the New Testament period, of course, Paul did not face any COVID-19 situation. But as we know, throughout his missionary life, Paul was poorly treated and he suffered badly for the sake of the gospel. Now, what we are facing currently does not amount to anything to the magnitude of Paul's suffering. But it remains a real challenge to us today because as ministers of God's word, for those under our care, we are facing challenges. So what can we learn from Paul and apply to our lives today so that we can remain faithful in the gospel ministry? So if you have your Bible with you, may I invite you to turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 16. And if you are at the Bible, you may say that, wow, this is a really, really long verse, Pastor Caleb. Right, if you are there with me, all right, 16 verses may seem really long, but we can condense it down to three very important points that we can put into practice right now. And the first point, all right, thank you. The first point is simply we are faithful in the gospel ministry when we proclaim the gospel boldly and truthfully, just like Paul did. Just like Paul did. Now we can go through our Bible scripture from verses 1 to 6. These are two characteristics that can be found throughout verses 1 to 6. All right? Let me read to you verses 1 to 6. You know, brothers and sisters, that our visit to you was not without results. We had previously suffered and had been treated outrageously in Philippi, as you know, but with the help of our God, we dared to tell you his gospel in the face of strong opposition. For the appeal we make does not spring from error or impure motives, nor are we trying to trick you. Verse 4. On the contrary, we speak as those approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please people, but God, who tests our hearts. You know we never use flattery, nor did we put on a mask to cover up greed. God is our witness. We were not looking for praise from people, not from you or anyone else, even though as apostles of Christ, we could have exerted our authority. Now, for Paul to write this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 6, we have to go back to the context of this passage. What did Paul experience when he was writing this letter to the Thessalonians? So what happened to Paul and Silas? If you have your Bible with you, now is the time that you can use your finger. Before their arrival in Thessalonica, Paul claimed that they had been bold and they had been truthful to the gospel. We can see that in Acts chapter 16. So use one of your fingers, turn with me to Acts chapter 16, verses 22 to 23. That gives us a situation in Philippi before they arrive in Thessalonica. Paul, Silas, both of them, they were stripped, they were beaten with rods, they were flogged, they were imprisoned because they cast out a spirit that predicted the future from a female slave. And as we know, the journey did not get any smoother as they were forced to leave Thessalonica after the Jews, who were jealous of them gaining followers, they started a riot in the city. This is described in Acts chapter 17, verses 1 to 9. And even after both Paul and Silas suffered, they were insulted in Philippi. You notice that they remained strong, they remained bold in sharing the gospel despite the strong opposition because God was with them. Simply because God was with them, after they left Philippi, they moved into the Thessalonica and they continue the work of God there. Despite everything that has been described in Acts chapter 16 and 17, because God was with them, they continue to remain faithful in the gospel ministry. Now, they also proclaimed the gospel truthfully because the message that they proclaimed did not contain E, F, and G. They did not contain error without impure motives or tricks. It did not contain any flattery. It did not contain any greed. All right? So there's no E, F, and G. No error, no flattery, and no greed in the message that Paul claims to the Thessalonians. And as a result of this boldness and as a result of this truthfulness, Paul wrote the first chapter of the book of Thessalonians with thanksgiving for their good testimony for the Lord around the region. So as we look at KLBC, Desa Park City today, as we look at ourselves today, are we exerting our influence over Kepong area? Are we exerting our influence in Desa Park City, in Manjalara, in Kepong area? Now, as ministers, we are faced with challenges today, especially after this week, because we can never know how long it will take before we come back to physical service. And because of that, we can no longer face our sheep face to face. And we have to remember, church is not within the church building only. Our journey of faith is not only in the church building only. And that is why, to be faithful in the gospel ministry, we have to remain bold, truthful, wherever we are. We have to be consistent wherever we are. So sometimes we have to ask ourselves certain questions, certain challenging questions, especially if those under our care, we do not meet them face to face. So we ask our questions such as, are they paying full attention during the pre-recorded live worship service? As parents, as teachers, are we giving them a good example by worshiping with them in front of a TV, laptop, phone, you name it, the device? Are they playing with their handphones while streaming the online Bible study class? So these are some of the very hard questions that we as ministers today have to ask ourselves. Are they being distracted by the other family members? Is my presentation or my sermon or my lesson good and clear enough for them? Because now they can compare with other resources. Why are they not replying my WhatsApp messages when I'm trying to find out how they are doing? You know, as pastors, it's really, really sad for me to say, hey, how are you? Message read, no reply. It is awkward when we cannot face them, you know, cannot meet them face to face. And is my devotional material suitable for their common needs? Am I doing enough to care for and to feed them with God's word during this MCO period? These are pressing questions. These are important concerns indeed. But sometimes we have to consider, are we shifting our focus from being bold, from being truthful to the gospel, to attempting to sugarcoat the truth? Are we changing the lessons or the message behind so that it is more appealing to our sheep? So that it smells nicer, it tastes nicer to them, even though it may not be the truth? Are we slowly seeking to please men rather than God? And are there impure motives behind all our concerns, or do we truly love and care for our sheep's well-being? So once again, we have to remember that the sheep under our care could be your child, could be your parents, could be your siblings, could be your friends, could be your classmates, could be your uncle, aunties. And is God pleased with our attitude of our service to Him and to the people, especially during this period of fear and uncertainty? Are we faithful to the scripture by being bold and by being truthful? Of course, we have to acknowledge that we have fear. We have fear, you know, because we fear ridicule, we fear embarrassment, we fear mockery, we fear persecution from our friends, from our loved ones. And some of us, we may choose to be secret believers of Christ instead of being a bold witnesses for Christ. Now, there's this family who lives in Houston, USA. I have the privilege to get to know the grandma. Okay, as you can see from the photo, there is the top left. Right, that's the grandma. She shared this encouraging testimony to me years ago. Now, at that time, there were three daughters. Today, you can see that there are four children there. The three daughters learned about sharing the gospel during their Sunday school class. 5 to 8 years old. The father, as you can see there, big guy there, he was an unbeliever at that time, but he was faithful to drive them to the church from the church every Sunday. So one day, the father was driving them from the church, and together, the 5 to 8 years old granddaughters, I mean the daughters, they attacked their father with the gospel. They took turns sharing the gospel message, and likewise, you know, the father was driving, he has nowhere to go. He has nowhere to run. The grandma prayed throughout the encounter because she was in the car. And after years of praying for her son-in-law, she witnessed him accepting Christ as his personal Lord and Savior there and then. 5 to 8 years old, three girls. Sunday school class, sharing the gospel to the father. The daughters were bold. They were smart. They were wise. There's nowhere to go. So likewise, if you are in the similar situation, may I propose to you to use this similar method. But firstly, you need to know how to share the gospel. Correct? Are you equipped? Are you ready to share the gospel to someone you love? Now, God enabled them to share truthfully, as taught by the Sunday school teachers. And the Holy Spirit convicted the father of his need for repentance, for redemption. And now we can see that after many years, they are now growing, they are now serving the church together as one big family. And how great and wonderful it is, indeed, to love one another as a family of Christ. And this brings us to the second point, where Paul exhorts us to be spiritual parents to the next generation of believers. And very quickly, let me read to you 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 to 12. Instead, we were like young children among you, just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we care for you. And because we love you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. And surely you remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. Verse 10. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believe. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Now we can see that love is the reason we seek to share our lives together outside of the boundary of this church building. And for me, this verse is a reminder because, you know, as a guy, father-to-be, I will claim that, you know, I can never be as loving, you know, taking the role of a mother. But we can see that in verse, where is this? Verse 7, that Paul, Silas, great man of God, man of faith, they are actually describing themselves as a nursing mother cares for their children. So there is no excuse, especially for the brothers, to not love our children like a mom loves the children. So obviously there's no excuse for me because the first word that I was thinking to teach my daughter in the future is to call mama. Don't call papa. Anything, call mama. So that, you know, whenever the baby wants milk, she will call out mama. I can remain sleeping. Okay? So that was my motivation to actually teach my daughter the first word, mom. But this verse actually reminded me. As a father, yes, I do have a fatherly role, but I can love my child just like a mom cares for her child as well. And likewise, for us this morning, it does not matter whether you have a blood-related child or not. It does not matter whether you are married or not. But we can be a spiritual parent to someone who is younger in faith. We can be a spiritual parent to someone who is younger in faith. Do you have a spiritual son or do you have a spiritual daughter in mind? A spiritual mother's role is one of gentleness. And the scripture describes that the nursing mother is one who imparts her life to the child. Because the baby must be in the arms and next to the heart of a nursing mother. Now, of course, it takes time, it takes hard work, it takes energy to care for young children. And similarly, as ministers of the gospel, we need to invest our time, we need to invest our energy, we need to invest all this to care for our sheep because we cannot turn our sheep over to babysitters. Sad to say, Christian or spiritual children, we cannot let them to be taken care by the babysitters. We have to nurse them, we have to eat the food, we have to transform it to be milk for the baby. And likewise, you and I, we are called to feed on the Word of God and then share this nourishment and nutrients with the younger believers so that they can grow. Now, because of this, there is a word of caution here to all ministers. A nursing child can become ill through his or her reaction to something the mother has eaten. Now, can you imagine? Imagine that the nursing mother consuming alcohol, smoking, taking in food without self-control, without considering the effects on the child. The baby will suffer. So we as ministers, we must be careful not to feed on the wrong things ourselves first. We must be careful of our diet because the role of a spiritual mother and a nursing mother is very, very important. If we do not nurse the new Christian with the milk of God's word, they can never mature to appreciate the meat of the word. They can never mature to take on solid food in the future. And now, to the father. Paul also listed out the criteria and the role of a spiritual father. We can see that a father not only provides and cares for the family, he is to be an example in holiness, in righteousness. He has to be blameless before God. And we can see two, the three W's here. In Paul's example regarding word, it was not easy to make tents and minister the word at the same time. So likewise, fathers, spiritual fathers, it is not easy for us to work, to provide for the family, and yet minister the word at the same time. God calls us to provide for the family. Yes, true. God calls us also to provide spiritual food to our children. Never underestimate the importance of spiritual food. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. We have to provide spiritual food, physical food to them, so that they are ready to become spiritual parents themselves. Work. The second W, they must also live as a good example in their daily walk with God and as men. And are there any witnesses that can testify of our lives this morning as an exemplary one in every way? Or are there testimonies that actually says that we are having a poor examples instead? God has been gracious. God has been faithful. And Paul had been a good example in this sense because both God and the Thessalonians were his witness. You and I, we were called to be blameless and pure, as Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verse 15. So that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe. Walk. Our walk with God, especially the fathers, is truly important. And lastly, the third W. Fathers must also take time to speak words to the family members. And we see that, you know, Paul knew the importance of words, of teaching the sheep under his care the truth that could help them grow in the Lord. And likewise, it is highlighted in verse 11, for you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and into his glory. We are to encourage our believers, as this is what a father, spiritual father, does for his children. And as we know, children are easily discouraged. We ourselves are easily discouraged. So it is indeed really, really encouraging, really, really refreshing to hear words of encouragement, especially in this world full of negativity. Let us learn to encourage one another in the Lord. And for myself, I am a guy with few words. I don't really speak as much. This is something that I need to learn. Because God cares for me. He took the trouble to get ready the whole Bible for me. God spoke to us quite a fair bit, if you notice. There's a whole Bible worth of it. And likewise, are we, as spiritual parents, contributing in the lives of our spiritual children? The third point of being faithful, and the last point in the gospel ministry, is when we endure hardship for the word of God, just like Paul did. Now, very quickly, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13 to 16. And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. For you, brothers and sisters, became imitators of God's churches in Judea, which are in Christ Jesus. You suffered from your own people the same things those churches suffered from the Jews. And in verse 15, who killed the Lord Jesus and the prophets and also drove us out. They displease God and are hostile to everyone in their effort to keep us from speaking to the Gentiles so that they may be saved. In this way, they always heap up their sins to the limit, and the wrath of God has come upon them at last. Now, if you remember the message that I've shared last week, at the end of it all, at the end of it all, there will be judgment. It will be simpler for us, for any of us, if we are just to die and return to nothingness. But sadly, according to the scripture, we have a judgment pending. And the judgment is no longer whether we go up or we go down, but rather on how we live our life here on earth after we have accepted Christ. And Paul is asking us to endure hardship for the word of God, to continue on faithfully despite all that we are facing, whether it's from our friends, whether it's persecution, whether it's physical suffering, illnesses. Paul is encouraging us to move on. We also have to agree that many have stopped resisting the world and they have been complacent. The minimal effort required is to stay connected to the church by Sunday. That's all that is required. The minimal effort for us today to remain connected to a church is simply by clicking on the link on Sunday morning, 9:55 or 10 o'clock. You join the service for 1 hour, and you know, that's it. I am connected to the church, or so-called. Is this how we have become today? Is our Christian journey of faith reduced to the 1 hour plus on Sunday morning? Shepherding is not just a job. It is a commitment to serve God through the church community with the emphasis on relationship. And I agree that it is not just a task. It is not a simple task. So I leave it with you, brothers and sisters, this morning. Strong and true ministers, they are faithful in the ministry when we proclaim the gospel boldly and truthfully, because we seek to please God instead of pleasing man. We are also to live as a spiritual parents to our sheep, the next generation of believers, by enduring the hardship for the sake of God's word. May all of us be reminded that God is the reason for our faithfulness, and there is nothing that can hinder us from remaining faithful in the gospel ministry. If you are familiar with barbecue, if a piece of charcoal is removed from the fire, it will cool down and the flame will eventually be extinguished. Okay, if you are familiar with BBQ, if you are really, even though we are not able to today or recently, we notice that once the charcoal is taken outside of the main core, it will cool down. The flame will eventually be extinguished. If it is put back in the fire, it will burn once again. So as we reflect upon our life this morning, are we like the single charcoal that is outside of the core fire, that we slowly are cooling down in our journey of faith, that we no longer feel the passion for God since the beginning? If we are, we will cool down. We will eventually be extinguished. Let us come back and remain faithful in the gospel ministry, because you and I, we are in this journey of faith together. Let us come back to the core fire so that we can keep each other warm. We can continue to burn for God. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we come before you this morning, we are thankful for the worship session that has reminded us again and again that it's your blood that has cleansed us, that has saved us. And Lord, we have tasted your goodness so far. And we are thankful for all that you have done for us, all your presence, all your blessings that has accompanied us so far. And because we have tasted of your goodness, Lord, we want to remain faithful to you. And Lord, we pray that you will continue to strengthen our faith, especially in these difficult times, that we are limited back to the online worship service starting next week. And Lord, we pray that you will continue to give us the desire, the passion for you to burn like the coal, like the charcoal in the coal fire. Lord, we want to continue to send out our flames to the people around us because, Lord, you have given them and you have put them under our care. And Lord, whether we have a blood relation with them, it does not matter because you have made us spiritual parents. And because of that, Lord, we want to proclaim your truth, your word, boldly and truthfully. And Lord, for that, we are willing to endure hardship, just like Paul and Silas did. And Lord, we acknowledge that it is challenging. We acknowledge that it is hard. We acknowledge that at times we could be weak ourselves. But Lord, we pray that you will never forsake us. And we are reminded that your goodness will follow us wherever we go. So Lord, we once again come before you asking for forgiveness if we have fallen short of what you have expected us to be. And Lord, we pray that you will give us the strength and also the spirit to continue in this journey of faith faithfully. We thank you for listening to our prayer this morning. We thank you for bringing us back here despite of the rise of the COVID-19 cases. We thank you for your protection over us. In Jesus' mighty name, we uphold, give thanks, and pray. Amen.